give the worship team a hand. That was beautiful. I felt home. This is awesome. It seems that every Sunday we all go together before the throne of God. It's just amazing. It's wonderful to be here. Such a privilege to share with you guys. Pastor Tiens, he can't stop talking good things about you guys. He's always just saying how wonderful you are and how special and awesome and soot van die aarde, mense. And then I tell him, because the two of you are such a soot van die aarde, mense, eh? Tiens and Liesel. Now, you guys are very blessed to have people like this. It's really, Tiens and I have, we've cried together. Or was it just me crying? I have cried in his presence. We have walked a journey. And it's awesome. It really is. I think the further you've walked in the kingdom of God, you realize what really matters. And what matters is friendship and relationship and brothers and sisters together. Is it really what makes Christianity serving God so special? It's the people. And so it's wonderful to see what God has done over the years. I was involved here with starting off a little bit. And it's awesome to see what God has done and what God is doing in so many lives. So to quickly some background, my family, the three of us, and we come from East London. For those who don't know, we're pastoring in East London for the last 5 years. We started with 15 people, and sometimes we went down to 11, and then I would offend somebody out of the church, and then we would listen. And so praise God, we're still standing. God is good, and he's done amazing things. And so my wife, Sonica, beautiful wife, she's going to be speaking at Awaken. Ladies, you don't want to miss it. If there's a woman on the face of this earth that should be speaking, it's my wife. She is an incredibly godly woman. I have over the years learned that the biggest mistakes I have made was not to listen to her. Honestly. So I have learned the hard way. When my wife speaks, I listen. And a beautiful boy, Vian, is now 5. When we arrived in East London, Sonica was 8 months pregnant. It was beginning December, about 5 years ago. And then Vian, my boy, was born on the 24th of December, a few weeks early. Surprise. And it's just been awesome sort of to look at my boy. My boy is like a picture for me of how our church has grown and matured and able to do more things. And God's doing incredible things. And I want to share a little bit with you this evening just of our journey. My life has been completely turned around the last 2 years. I've been in the ministry now for almost 12 years. Been in the ministry for 10 years until the Lord flipped my life around. And you would think you would know something after 10 years. But God really he's transformed me and transformed us, transformed that congregation. I want to share some of the things with you. And I'm trusting you're going to be encouraged. Some more background. I studied engineering. And now I'm a human engineer, praise God. So we're going to be working on you this evening by the grace of the Lord. And I come from a very intellectual family. I'll explain why I'm saying this. Very intellectual family. My grandfather was a professor of surgery at the Tygerberg Medical Campus. His older brother started the medical campus. He was the founder of the medical campus. And so I come from a very intellectual family. And so maybe you sit here this evening, and maybe you're also very intellectual. And I just want to say there's hope for you. There is hope for you. The Lord can swap you, can flip you around. At the age of 18, I had an encounter with God. It completely changed my life. And I started this journey. And I want to share with you this evening a message about the cross. So if you look at the picture of the cross, what do you see there? What does it symbolize? It symbolizes, for us today as believers, it's a symbol of hope, it's a symbol of life. 2,000 years ago, it was a symbol of death. It was the source of death for thousands. So it was this horrific symbol of negative fear and death and destruction. And somehow that symbol has been transformed. It was a source of death, but it became a symbol of life. But more than that, it's become a source of life. And I want to sort of share with you about that, how God can do that in your life with whatever might be your symbol of death, whatever might be your symbol of negative, Jesus can turn it around. So death comes in different forms. Who watches cricket? Come on, confess. Okay, now death comes to me every 4 years. Every 4 years, I hope, and we die. You see, and that's why you have such a wise pastor. You know, Tien's doesn't really watch cricket. That's why he's so secure in himself and in God. The rest of us who have watched cricket, we need healing every now and again. But death comes in different forms. Death can, you know, we experience when a dog dies, animal dies. For us, that's close. You know, it really affects you. If you had the animal for like 10 years, 15 years, it really affects one. When a family member dies, when someone you love dies, it really impacts us. And so death comes in different forms to us. Death can be in your physical body. Death can be something you feel every day of your life, pain in your physical body. Death can be staring at you every day as you are wrestling with something in your body. But also, death can come in the form of disappointments. Lost a job, went bankrupt, divorce, lost a relationship with somebody you were really close to. Those, it can feel like you're dead on the inside. So death impacts us. I think one of the worst forms of death is just emptiness on the inside, just having no purpose in life. I remember as a young man, I was very often battled in a sense with depression. I didn't have a purpose in life. I hated myself. I actually despised myself as a young man. And Jesus had to come turn me around. So death comes to us in different forms. We all battle with it in different ways. Now, there's a verse that speaks of this in a good way. Matthew 4:16, Old Testament prophecy. And then it shares of someone who's coming. It says, the people who sat in darkness. Can you say darkness? Darkness. Have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. A glorious light has shined. So the people in darkness, there were people, the shadow of death was hanging over them until this light came. Jesus spoke of Jesus coming, this light shining. And about 6 months after our boy was born, about 4.5 years ago, my wife started to battle with insomnia. Hectic insomnia. So she would get into bed at 8:30 at night. And around 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock, she would still not sleep. And so this continued for about 3 years, on and off. It completely immobilized us. I would be up at night. I would be praying. I would probably have laid hands on my wife thus far in 13 years of glorious marriage more than 1,000 times. And I was thinking, I said that once, I think, I'm overreacting. And then my wife had started to count and said, no, definitely more than 1,000 times. So it's all true. All true. But I mean, we'd be up at night praying and trusting, and then the sleeping pills wouldn't work, and it worked for a time, and they wouldn't work anymore. And so it was just a nightmare, because it would just ripple out just chaos in our lives. And my wife and I, we work together. She's in the office with me. So, you know, it's like I can handle a few days, but now I don't have an employee anymore. I mean, it's everything is chaos. And in that time, about 2 years ago, April this year, 2 years ago, I came to a point, we had another holiday that wasn't a holiday because she started again to not sleep. And it was just really horrible. But in the process, the Lord started to speak to me. He started to stir something on the inside. I realized, I believe in an almighty God. I believe that He is all powerful. I believe all these wonderful things. But when I pray for people, nothing happens. physically speaking. They're sick. I pray for them. I don't ask. I walk away because it didn't work. It doesn't really work. First 10 years of ministry, I probably saw two or three people he physically healed. Maybe. You know, you hope it was. And so this, it started to stir in me. It became to a point that I was angry. Not at God, but angry at why are we not seeing the fullness of God in our midst? Why are we not seeing Scripture fulfilled? Now, promises Jesus gave us. He said, those who believe in me, same works you will do, and greater. And I'm saying, not me, Lord. It's not happening. So I remember I had made a meeting with our leaders, and I told them, I've never been as focused, as persuaded as I was. I told them, guys, I want to make an announcement. We are going to pursue the fullness of God like never before. We're going to get out of our boat. We're going to try and walk on water. We might sink sometimes, but we need to. For my wife's sake, but also for so many people in church who are wrestling with things that Jesus said, I've dealt with it. And so we started this journey. And then my wife had a Sonica, she, from primary school, she had the skin disease called psoriasis. And so when she was in grade 4 or 5, she stayed 2 weeks in Tigerberg Hospital because of her skin disease, just absolutely just overwhelming her body all everywhere. Psoriasis is a skin disease where, you know, the skin duplicates too quickly. So it looks terrible and starts bleeding and... Anyway, so she's been fine the whole time with that little spot here, little spot there for the last 10 years since we were married. And then when we started to reach out, we're saying, God, now heal. God, now set free. Lord, now. Suddenly the psoriasis started to break out all over her body. Like it started on her arms, spread all the way, legs down, back. It was going up her neck to the face. And she would get up in the morning, she'd stand there, and the blood would run down her arms and her legs. It was horrific. Now I'm saying, God, I ask for healing. Healing, Jesus. What is this? And I remember every day just getting up, I spoke to him, I said, this is for the testimony of God. This is for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. And so we started to step out and trust the Lord for healing and freedom, to see his power in our midst. And it was amazing what God started to do. It was amazing to see what he was. I'm going to share some this evening. Wednesday night, we're going to continue. I'm going to share about cultivating a life of the supernatural. But the Lord has really done incredible things. That year that we started to trust the Lord, he healed Sonica of the skin disease. She has one or two spots on her heads, on her head. And but we prayed the one night, and as the psoriasis spread over body, it returned and it disappeared. We saw about 3 people healed in 2012. End of 2012, we were leaders meeting praying, and then the Holy Spirit just said to me, there's going to come an outbreak of healing. And so in 2013, we had 100+ people physically healed. And I want to share some of the stories with you, and I believe it's just the beginning. And I believe God wants to touch some of us here this evening as well and set us free. But before I tell the stories, let me just get into this. So there's a shadow of death. And my grandfather was a very stubborn man. And he was an ardent atheist because of evolution, whatever else. He didn't believe in God. And then my dad told me the story. My grandfather, the one time he was driving from Tigerberg Hospital home, and on his way home, he suddenly felt, symptoms, heart attack, goodness, turned around, chases back to the emergency. Guys, they all knew him. Say, come, doctor, professor, come sit. So I put up all the things to check his heart. And at some stage, suddenly the doctors and the nurses stormed into the place and they started to press him down, and it seems that they took the defibrillator, those things they shock with, and they shocked him to death because the things just fell off. It wasn't actually, he wasn't having a heart attack, I hear. But anyway, so he died. And what happened was suddenly he found himself, my grandfather found himself sitting against the roof or the ceiling of this area. And he was looking down at the doctors and the nurses and everybody running around trying to sort him out. So he was sitting in the corner of this thing, of the ward, and he was looking down at what was happening here. And at some stage, I think they got them back to life anyway, so his spirit came back. So my dad, who's an atheist, changed his story. He suddenly said, okay, maybe there is more. He didn't become a Christian, but he realized there is a spirit realm. Actually, my grandfather was a woodwork guy, so he made something that would represent him lying on that bed and his spirit looking down. So anyway, so that was, I thought that's quite amazing. And so they say that there are millions of NDEs happening all over the world. There's near-death experiences. So where people die, their spirit goes somewhere and they can say, some guys do tests and they put words on the roof of the hospital, like random word every day. And then they will interview those who come back and say, I saw these funny words on the roof as their spirit lifted through the roof. Millions of such experiences happening. They've done studies about it. And point being, it confirms, and they say 98% of the times when these things happen, they interview the people either have sort of a hell experience or they would have a heaven experience, like light, bright light and things, which confirms the biblical record. Okay, so that's death. But as I said, death comes in different forms. You have eternal death, separation from God, eternal separation from God. Then you have death on the outside, disease in our bodies. And then you have death on the inside. It's like disappointments, pain, depression, etc. Now, Jesus came. He came and he died on a cross. Why? Why did he do that? What did he come to do? You know, the cross symbolized the worst type of death. As I said, the cross was the symbol of death. And yet, for some reason, Jesus died on this cross. Why? And what did he do when he came to earth and he was ministering? What did he do going around from town to town? What was he doing? If you want to sum it up, what was his mission? His mission was to make a stand against death. Everywhere he went, he made a stand against death. He would forgive sin because sin causes death on the inside. Do you know that? That sin always causes something to die. Can prove it. If you're married, commit adultery, which is a sin, look at the effect on your marriage. Look on the effect on your heart. It brings death to the marriage. It brings death to your own heart. Sin always causes something to die. Okay. So Jesus came and he forgave sin because he wanted to bring life on the inside of people. But he also went around and he healed the lame and he healed the sick. He prayed for the lepers and they were restored. And they were the living dead. So Jesus went around confronting death on every possible level, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Jesus confronted death. And I want to hold that before you because in some of our lives this evening, there's death at work. And I have good news to you. We have a God who has overcome death. Jesus overcame death and he has provided that for us on every level. So Jesus completed his victory over death. He completed his victory over death as he hung on that cross and 3 days later he rose. But what did he do? He took that cross, the symbol of death, the source of death, and he transformed it into what? A symbol of life, but more than that, a source of life. You have to see this. This is key. You need to focus now. He transformed the symbol of death into a source of life. And a symbol of life, a source of life for everyone. This great light shining all over the world. And so we see a picture in the Old Testament of this, about the bronze snake. We can read this verse in Numbers 21, verse 9. The Israelites, they were rebelling against God. They were doing their own thing. Judgment came and snakes came into the camp. Everybody that were bitten by the snakes, they would die. Moses cried out to God, God, what can we do? What can I do to sort this out? God said, take a snake, make a snake of bronze, put it on a pole. Whoever looks at the snake will be healed. Look at that verse. It says, so Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Let's say that, he lived. So snakes that bite, is like sin also comes and bites us, and it causes death in our spirit, in our emotions. But this is beautiful. So God speaks to Moses, and he says, Moses, the solution to this problem of death is take the symbol of death, the snake, make a bronze image of it, lift it up, let them look at the symbol of death, and they will receive life. And they will be healed. I think it's amazing. The symbol of death becomes a symbol of life, which we also find on the doctor's, the emblem of the doctor's, the snake. I don't know if it comes from there, but I presume it comes from there. I don't know. But, so whoever looked at this bronze serpent, he lived. And so the symbol of death was turned around. I remember about May last year, my first message, that we serve a powerful God and he heals. And I was chuffed. It was a good message. Thank you, Jesus. On Monday, that was the Sunday, Monday afternoon, a late young woman, middle 20s, she went jogging and a vehicle hit her as she was jogging, running over the road. The vehicle hit her and she rolled over the bonnet, fell over on the other side. It was Monday afternoon. So next day, she doesn't go to work. She's in significant pain. Tuesday afternoon, I see her. She comes to see me and she walks like a 95-year-old, like this. And the whole one side of her body is bruised and damaged and in significant pain. Can't touch the side. We were hugging this way. And that was the Tuesday afternoon, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. That evening, a few people from church went to pray for her. So they prayed for her, and they were praying for her, she felt like the fire of God touching her hip and the side. And I heard like a clapping noise, something clapped in the joint. And then she got up and she tested and the pain was completely gone, completely gone. She saw some bruises still. And the next morning when she got up, zero bruises, no bruising, no blackness, completely healed. She went on a long hike that weekend as well. So I was like, yes, Jesus, you heal in this church. I can't believe it. I bet I should believe it. This is awesome. Man, I wrote that one healing. We would tell it every Sunday. Have you heard? Have you heard how Jesus healed Ashley? This is awesome. Our God heals. Our God heals. And I didn't see much else, but I was going with that one. And this is one of the keys to see healing. We so focus on everything but what God is doing. Look away from what God is not doing. Celebrate what he is doing. And tell the whole world. Because as you tell the whole world, you will start duplicating. You just need one miracle. That's all I'm doing. I'm seeing a miracle. I'm telling people they get healed. Then I see another miracle. I tell people that's what happened last time. And then they get healed. And that's how you continue. Builds people's faith. But testimony creates an environment that duplicates the miracle working power of God. Jesus still heals. Jesus still heals. In John chapter 3, verse 14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him, can you say that, whoever? That means you. That means you. Whoever. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If Jesus is lifted high on the symbol of death, you see, the cross covers all forms of death, soul, spirit, and body. And if anyone would look to him, if anyone would look to Jesus, to the cross, they would receive life. Because Jesus has transformed the symbol of death, the source of death, into a symbol of life. But more than that, a source of life. A source of life. You and I can come to the cross and we can receive not just eternal life, praise God for eternal life, but also physical life, emotional life, every facet of our beings. That is what Jesus has won for us. And so there's a scripture, it's not on the screen, Romans 10:13, but it says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Say whoever. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word saved covers salvation spiritual, also healing physical, and deliverance as well. It's the whole package. The whole package. But for some reason, we as believers, we've backed away from the fullness of the gospel. Because, you know, I've prayed for somebody, nothing happened. So we don't want to try it again. You're afraid. You get afraid to try it again. And God is wanting to reveal to us his fullness. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 15:54. It says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting?" Death is swallowed up in victory. It's like Jesus was hanging on the cross. Death, metaphorically speaking, was walking around there. The Grim Reaper. He was like, "Got you now. Just where I want you." Probably in the spirit, just there laughing, thinking, "Got you, Son of God. Now I have nailed you." And actually, it was a trick. It was a trick by Jesus. He just wanted the spirit of death to come close. So I have this picture of Jesus just before he died. He did the hug of death on death. He grabbed him. He swallowed him up. He took him in him and said, "Today I will overcome you. Today I take you with me because you have no right to me. I am the sinless Son of God." And 3 days later, he rose from the dead having won, having purchased the victory for you and for me eternally, but also physically. You see, on the cross, we often focus on spiritual life. That's the one arm. The other arm is physical life. Physical life. Go look at what Jesus did. Wherever he would go, he would say, "And everyone was healed." And everyone was healed. And everyone was healed. If you and I are the body of Christ, shouldn't we be doing the same today? Why should we suddenly now, we're the body of Christ, but this body doesn't heal anymore? But that's how we live. We live in a way that we do not expect him to heal, and we do not trust him to heal, and we think that for somebody else somewhere far in Africa. Not in a city like Cape Town, actually. No, we start to live in a way that we think somewhere far off, that's the only place that Jesus heals. Do you know where Jesus heals? Where there's faith. The Lord has revealed to me that there are no hard places in the world. There are no difficult places where Jesus can. I mean, we went to India last year, April. I was absolutely terrified. Terrified. I've heard of all the gods. I mean, yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh, does Jesus work in India? I was pleasantly surprised. He works powerfully in India. He works powerfully in Pretoria. We did a healing service there in Shofar Pretoria, and God touched people. Jesus works powerfully any place. He's just looking for a people that say, "God, you say in your word this." I'd stand on that promise. You see, when it comes to sickness and diseases, it speaks loudly to us. The things we've been through and are currently through, it speaks loudly. It's like screaming at us. Whatever we might be going through. But do you know that the Word of God speaks louder? The Word of God speaks louder than anything this world can speak to us, even our disease and sicknesses and problems. Jesus swallowed up death. So, spirit life, yes. Then physical life, Matthew 6:10. It says, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And there's been written about this. It's such a beautiful principle. We are called to pray, "Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Any sickness in heaven? Any broken bodies in heaven? No. We have been called to bring the kingdom of God down through our prayers and declarations. Say, "God, Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Establish your reign. Come and let heaven imprint on this place right now. Let heaven come to earth. Let us be changed. Let us be touched. There's a lady in our church. She had 8 miscarriages. She has been on antidepressants for 5 years. She had a chemical imbalance in her brain, literally. It wasn't spiritual, physically, chemical imbalance. She's been on the antidepressants for 5 years. Then 2 years ago, she tried to go off the antidepressants. Within 2 weeks, she was suicidal. She just couldn't go off the pills. So if you want pills, do not feel ashamed. Do not feel bad about it. It's not a crisis. Okay, you're not a bad believer. You're not a bad Christian. You just need the pills. But in her case, she was our first lady that was healed beginning last year. We had a foundation for, and the Friday evening, she was praying with her husband and another man. And she says then suddenly she felt something stick into her brain, like a searing hot piece of metal stuck into her brain. She said it was incredibly painful. And it went on for a while, and then suddenly the pain was gone, and she forgot about it. 2 months later, she realized, I haven't taken any pills. I'm healed. Jesus heals depression. Jesus heals depression. Whatever it might be, spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever it might be, Jesus heals all of that. Jesus heals all of that. There's another thing. We went to India, and there was the Sunday evening meeting. It was the most incredible meeting I've ever experienced. We sang with the people. It was extremely false, very false. It was not heavenly, but we sang. But it was like a real Jesus biblical Bible time meeting, because there were loads of Hindu people. The first few were like Christian, and the rest were like Hindu, standing out the venue, all the way into the street, trying to figure out what's happening here, what's happening here. So I preached my message. And we had our team and everybody, now we're going to pray for healing. And so I prayed for one guy. Nix. Nothing. Nothing. It's like, Jesus, where are you? Prayed for the second person. Nothing happened. And the third person was a young boy, 8 years old. I'm going to show you the picture. This boy, when I saw him, he hasn't spoken in all of his life. His mom is standing to the left there. Hasn't spoken in his life. So I'm sitting in my, it looked like my own little boy. So my heart just broke. So I'm on my knees with him. And I saw this glazed look on his eyes. It's like he wasn't understanding. Emotionless. And then I prayed for him. And as I was praying for him, I could see his eyes change. And then this young boy started to speak. I told him, say Yesu. And he said, Yesu. We had to practice a bit, but we got it. And then I said, say hallelujah. And then he said, hallelujah. I have it on video. I promise you. I asked his mom, has he ever done this? Has he ever spoken? He said, no, he has never spoken. That rocked my world. That rocked my world to see this little boy forever changed. Forever changed. From that moment onwards, everyone we prayed for were touched by the presence and the power of God. Prayed for his mom who had intestinal problems. Pain left instantly. She was weeping of God touching her. Next lady prayed for her. God touched her. They would interpret and they would just say, it's the fire. It's the fire. And we'd pray again and they'd say, it's the fire. And then the pain would instantly leave. The one lady, it was beautiful. The one lady, she was standing. She had skin problems, hands and feet and face. I prayed for her. I was holding her hands. And then we prayed and we asked, well, what's happening here? And then she said, somebody's touching my feet. I'm looking. There's no one. There's no one. Someone was touching her feet. Maybe it was God. Maybe it was an angel. It was glorious. We kept on praying for people all the way into the street. It was beautiful. People's ears opening up. People who couldn't squat for 10 years squatted. People who couldn't bend down started to bend down. It was amazing. I remember that evening I was at the hotel or the place we're staying, and I was thinking, God, that was amazing. And the Lord said, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. All God is looking for is someone to believe, to say, yes, God. I don't just believe you can. I believe you will. I've experienced this a few times, a supernatural gift of faith. Just, I know that you're going to heal now. I know you're going to touch somebody. And then he does. We have seen more than 100 people touched by the power of God, healed. And I've made a list. Do you know why? Because the next day I think, was it really so? It's like the enemy steals your faith over and over again. So I made a list. I wrote down their specifics and I follow up with them. Okay, 3 weeks later. How are you? Still great, thank you, man. Jesus heals. Permanently. There's a few that fall back. But most of them actually stay healed. It's amazing. Jesus heals. And I believe that the Lord is wanting to raise up a generation that lives it daily. I mean, last week at our service, I didn't preach on healing. I shared a few stories, but didn't make an altar call. Two ladies come forward. One lady comes forward, and she says, visiting lady, and she says, I have inflammation this side of my mouth, pain through the whole service. I'm thinking, okay, let's pray. Prayed, bam, healed, gone. Pain gone. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. Jesus is amazing. You see, maybe you're sitting here and you're intellectually, you're battling with this. Maybe you've tried it and you failed. It doesn't matter what someone says to me. I have an encounter with God. I have seen him heal. I have a list. I have a list. I can read it to you. Exactly who prayed, what happened. I know. You see, a man with an encounter is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. A man who has encountered the living God is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Do you know a man with an argument? He's one encounter away from changing his story. God wants us to encounter his fullness. I am tired of a church that is powerless. I am tired of preaching about this mighty God, but I can't produce the goods. The core of the gospel is Jesus saves and Jesus heals. So I want to invite you to set your face as we have, to say no more. It's absolutely transformed my life. I communicate differently with God. I experience him differently because I have encountered him in a different way. My faith is much greater. And the Lord wants to do the same for you. And so then soul life. So Jesus gives spirit life, then he gives physical life, and then soul life. And I'm sharing with you because we're going to pray for people this evening. We're really trusting that God is going to touch some of us here. 3 John 2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. God wants your soul to prosper as well. Some of us have experienced things in our past and it's still controlling us. Jesus is saying, I want to heal that. That disappointment, I want to heal that. That pain, I want to heal that in your soul. There's a lady in our church. She was molested by her grandfather for 10 years, from the age of 6, 7, 6, 5, 6, till about 15, 16. Jesus healed her completely in her soul. If you ask her today, she'd say, she thanks Jesus that that happened. She has no pain, no anger towards her grandfather. She loves him. And she thanks Jesus for what he has done through that. It wasn't his will. That wasn't his will. But he actually used it to form her in a way that she would never dream possible. It helped her in the end. God used it for her to connect with God. Jesus can heal you of whatever you have been through. You see, he takes your symbol of death, whatever that might be, your symbol of death, your regret, your pain, your, oh, I wish that never happened. He takes that symbol of death that might be your source of death, and through the cross, he transforms it into your symbol of life and your source of life. With Rosie, 8 miscarriages. That is her death, her symbol of death. Now it has become her symbol of life. Look at what Jesus did in me. And it becomes a source of life because as she shares the story, as she shares what Jesus has done, it opens the door for others to be healed as well from depression. He takes our death and he transforms it. Is that good news or what? That's awesome. We serve an amazing God. I see this picture of a loving father, an amazing loving father. You say, I want to invade your life. Will you let me? I will invade your life. I was in the ministry for 10 years. I can honestly say, I have only seen so much of God. And there's so much more. So I want to invite you to go further with him, to trust him for more, to start living a naturally supernatural life where God is very real and very present every day of your life. Imagine for a moment that you and I could walk into a hospital or we have a family member with cancer. They are dying. It's last stages. Everyone knows. Everybody's mourning. There's almost like they are almost dead. Imagine you walk in that situation and you could, in the name of Jesus, pray, Jesus, heal them. And the cancer is healed. Imagine the effect, the glory that will come to Jesus and the lives that will be touched through it. You won't have to argue about evolution. So many of us argue, trying to persuade somebody about, oh, this is right and that is wrong. You can go beyond it. Let me prove it to you. Let me prove to you that God loves you so much. Let me pray for you right now. Let me feel the presence and the love of God. Pray for them right there. Let the presence of God touch them and change them. Ah, that would be beautiful. That would be awesome. So do you want God to invade your life? He wants to, more than you can ever imagine. He wants to invade your life. We have seen people with eye conditions, colorblind. People couldn't get into the army. Prayed for them and they see color for the first time in their life. We have seen ankles and elbows and backs, etc. healed. So we want to pray for some of you this evening. So we're going to step out a bit. Is that okay? I might miss it. I'm not Jesus. But I want to be obedient to what I feel the Spirit is saying to me. Okay, so I'm going to pray first, and then I'm going to name a few things, and I'm going to call you forward and pray for you. Woo-hoo. Christianity in action. Okay, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this evening. God, we bless you. You are amazing. Jesus, you still heal. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You reign supreme. You reign on high. And we pray, God, for a stirring on the inside of every one of us. A stirring, Lord, to see the real God, Almighty God, the same Jesus that walked this earth, manifest himself in our today, here, and now lives. Emmanuel, God with us. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Lead us, touch us, encourage us. Whatever our situation might be, whatever our death might be, Lord, may it be transformed into life. In Jesus' name.